This is Daf HaShavua. This week is Ksuvas Daf Chav Beis. We begin on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Shlosha Sheyashu L'Kayim Es Ashtar. You have three judges who are sitting there, and they're there to do Kiyum Shtaros, to certify a document. Edim came in, and they testified, and now the judges have to sign, have to certify, have to write their henpek, and that this document is kosher, and has been established, and has been certified. And what happened before, so these three judges are about to sign, Vikara Arar Alecha Mehem, and then someone came in and said, you know, that third guy sitting over there, that one of those judges, I think he's pasul. So Rashi says, Vikara Alecha, five lines of that, Shu pasul. So one challenge is, maybe he shouldn't be one of the judges here at all, and he should not be able to certify the star. Well, you need three judges to certify the star. So says the Gemara like this, Achalo Chasmu, if the other two judges have yet to sign the shtar, Mi'idin Olav V'chosem, they can run to another court and say, this third judge, we're to Edim, so we're allowed to testify about the kashrus of another person. So this other person, this third guy, he's a kosher judge, no problem at all. He's not pasul, he's not a gazlan, he's not nothing, and they're allowed to sign. And then v'chosem, all three then can sign together. But misha chasmu, but if the two judges have already signed, and now what happened? They want to come and testify. Well, then someone challenges that third judge. Oh, don't let him sign. He's pasul. So these two judges who already signed cannot go to another Beis Din and testify about the third judge that he's kosher. Then that's what the Gemara means. Misha chasmu ein mi'idin alav v'chosem. It's too late for them to testify, and therefore the third judge cannot sign along with them, and you can't certify the star. What's the difference between before they signed or after they signed? So look at Rashi, two lines on the bottom. Misha chasmu, once those two judges sign, havaluhu nogin be'edus. So then oge be'edus. It's a biased testimony. Sheganai lahem sheyasru impossible bedin. Because once they've already signed, they're basically signing that we are two of three judges who are here to certify a star for them to testify. So now it's very embarrassing if they're going to sign, then finding out that this third guy is really pasul, that doesn't look very good for them. So of course they're going to want to testify that the third guy is kosher. So they're nogea be'edus. They can't. They're at this point, they're no longer impartial, and that's why they cannot testify for that third judge. So the Gemara wants to know what are they contesting? What is someone coming into court and challenging this particular judge? Arar d'mai, e arar d'gazlanusa. If he's accusing him that he's a gazlan, and therefore so what's going to happen now? He can't sign. So the Gemara says, trey treinenu. What do you mean? This is you don't assume that this guy is a gazlan and he can't sign along. Meaning what? You have to realize if they're going to testify, if they're challenging the fact, oh, this guy is the third judge is a gazlan. So even if the other two judges, what do we say here? If the other two judges haven't signed yet, then they can testify about this third judge that he's kosher, and then everything's great, and the third judge can sign. Why? If two people came, let's say two witnesses came, we're assuming it's two witnesses, and challenged and says this third judge is pasul as a gazlan, and these two judges who were sitting there, okay, they haven't signed yet, so they're not nogea be'edus, I hear that. And they testify, no, this guy is not a gazlan, that's trey a trey, top of the next amud. That's two against two. So if it's two against two, why do we assume that the third judge is okay and he's allowed to sign? That's not good. So that can't be what we're talking about. Tab Rashi, trey treininu, ki ami lo gazal, havalu trey trey, v'lo miskastra b'hachi. He doesn't become kosher, dikai malon, dekaman bepirkin, ein irapachos mishnai. Meaning, what the Gemara is assuming is that when there's an iror, when there's an accusation, when there's a, they're contesting the quality of the validity of this particular judge, it's two edim are coming to do that. Because iror, by definition, needs to be two. So then it's two against two. So why should the two judges be allowed to testify that the third judge is kosher, and then the third judge is allowed to sign. So then the Gemara says, okay, so it can't be that it's then they talk, it can't be that they're talking about he's a goslin. And let's say they're challenging that his lineage. Pegam mishpacha. That's what's going on. Rashi, the pegam mishpacha. Shehidu alav shu eved. The eved pasul adun. Ulei ledin uleidus. Kavachom emeisha. Ktaba perka chovel. So, an eved is no good for edus. He's no good for din. And if an isha's pasul, certainly an eved. The Gemara learns it from a kavachomer. So if that's the case, gilui milsa ba'ol mahu. So then, what are the other two judges doing when they come to another court and say, now this guy is kosher? What are they saying? They're not saying he's not a, it's not about Gazlanus. There's no Pagam Mishpacha. What are they saying? You're absolutely wrong. We can show you. This guy is kosher. He's not an Evid at all. So now, this can be, it's very easy to figure out what this person's lineage is. And therefore, this is not real testimony. This is Gilui Milsaboma. It's merely clarifying something. It's revealing the matter. It's not testimony at all. And if that's so, they should so much be believed, the two judges, about the third judge, since you can investigate the matter, and therefore they have credibility, then they should be able to testify that even after they have signed. There's no Gea Be'edus here. You can figure out the information or not. So Gemara says, La'olam e'malach arar digazlanus. So no, what's happening here is that people are coming and they're challenging that that third judge was really a gazlan. We said, is it a trey utre? So why do we believe the two judges to testify to the third judge as long as it's before that they signed and then the third judge is allowed to sign along? No, v'ka'am yahani yadin on beidav atshuva. It's specifically speaking about a case where what do the two judges say? They say, absolutely, we know that he was a goslin, but he did tshuva. Aha! Rashi says, v'av atshuva, v'heshev is akzela. So now, what are they doing? Because as long as they have not certified, they haven't signed the Kita Henpik, they haven't signed the certification, they're not considered biased at that point because they're not, it's not Trey Utre. They're actually agreeing with the Edus, but they're saying, they're declaring that he's fit to be a judge because he did tshuva. They are believed, but not after the fact. Not after the fact. Not after they've already signed. Okay, let's look at the Rashi before that. If they already signed and all they're doing is Gili Milsa, is just, you know, telling about their lineage, why can't they sign? What kind of suspicion do you have here regarding being Nogeba Edis? You have to clarify this. It's something that's going to be revealed eventually. Till they clarify, they're going to check, they'll investigate. So the Edus is not tolerating what these guys are saying. It's not testimony. They're just revealing the matter. Okay, Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Hamilsa me Rabbi Abishmieli. What I'm about to say, I originally heard from Rabbi Abba. And if it weren't for Rabbi Abba from Akko, who reminded me about this, I would have forgotten. What is this very nice statement? If three judges sat to do Kiyum Shtaros and one of them died before they signed, so when they write the henpek, they have to say, we were originally seated as three people, but one of us, one of us is no longer here, one is no longer alive. That's what has to be said. If you look at Rashi, it's about 10 lines or so into the thin lines, Achalochas Mutrichim Lemichta V'chulei,
you know why you have to write B'mosav Telasa? Because Kiyum Staros has to be done in front of the Beis Din.
And if only two people sign, so you have a problem. You have to write that, yeah, there may have been three people who heard this testimony. You have to, and he can't sign because he's not here anymore. You have to make mention that he was there. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, v'ikasav bei shtara denan nefak l'kadamar beidina sulot tzarech. But if in the handpick itself, in the certification, it said this star came out in front of us before the court, beidina sulot tzarech, that's okay. You don't need anything more because, as Rashi says, v'ikasav etc. Dilo mikri beidina, batzer mitzlasa, less than three is not called a beis din. So once you say beis din, you don't have to say anything more. You don't have to mention, by the way, we were all sitting here, all three of us, and this person is no longer here. Ah, yes, the Gemara, why? You're assuming a beis din is automatically three, and you don't have to, you have to write in the shtar that we were all three here. V'dilma beis din chatzifu. Maybe it's a beis din that's chatzuf, right? It's an insolent beis din, as the Gemara says, with the Shmuel, the beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin. Damar Shmuel, shnayim shed. Shmuel's of the opinion that if two people judge a matter, it's considered valid. It's a based in chutzuf. It means it's chutzpah. They shouldn't be doing so, since you really should be should have a based in of three. But nonetheless, it's b'di'evit. It's good. The Gemara there says in the beginning of Sanhedrin that that Mida Oraisa, one judge can be kasher, so certainly two would be acceptable. You don't necessarily need three in all on a Oraisa level. So since according to Shmuel, if you have two judges, that's called a beis din. So how will the nusach of Rav Nachman, where you say this star came out of a beis din, why would that be sufficient and automatically assume three? Maybe you need to write, no, all three of us were sitting here. So the Gemara says, Dichsid bei beidina de Rabbana Ashi. No, when Rav Yitzchak by Yitzchak says, oh, this star came out of a beis din, it's not just stam a beis din, it's the beis din of the great of Rav Ashi. That's what we're talking about, Rabbana Ashi. Why is that better? So that changes matters. Rashi, Beidina de Rabbana Ashi. Does it have to be only Rav Ashi's beis din? So Rashi says, no, Urcha de Milso Nakat. No, just, that's the matter, you know, just the way of things usually are is what is mentioned here. Shuha Yerush Yeshiva, B'masa Machsi, B'mi Rav Nachman Vayitzchak, Duhu Mara de Shmaita. So the master of this statement was Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman made the point, you know, you need to write Rav Ashi's, that it was the base of Rav Ashi. And it happens to be that Rav Ashi was the head of the Rosh Hashiva in the Masa Machzi at that time, in that city. But it could be anyone. Devadai Beidina de Rav Ashi lo avdin betrayin. There's no way they would have done with two people. So if you have, this came out of the base of some great rabbi of the Rosh Hashiva, so then, of course, that would be sufficient, and you wouldn't have to write. If one of the Dayanim had died, you don't have to write, we were sitting here with three people. That's not necessary. The Dilma Rabbana Debei Rav Ashi Kiddush Mu'el Sfri Yiluv. The Gemara says that the Gemara is still not satisfied. Maybe the Rabbana and Rav Ashi is based in, held like Shmuel, that is that it's sufficient to have a based in of two. So the Gemara says, no, Dichsiv Bei Va'amar Lona Rabbana Ashi. When Rav Yaakov Yitzchok says that the certification is okay where one of the judges died and you wrote that this came out of a beis din of Rav Ashi, it meant where, you know what was written in the henpeck? And Rav Ashi told us to certify this die. So if Rav Ashi was involved, then we don't have to worry that it was done by two judges, and you don't have to mention specifically that a third person was here and he died. Says the Mishnah. Isha Shamra, Isha Zishar, you see, Ugrushani. So we're back to examples of Pesha Asara, Pesha Hitir. The mouth that made something Asar is the same mouth that permitted it. That is a Ne'emonis that people have. So what happened? A woman, we had no idea who she was. To the best of our knowledge, maybe she was single. She comes and says, I was an Ashes, I was a married woman, but I'm a Grusha now, but I'm divorced. She's believed. Why? Shapesha Asar Pesha Eater. It's the same mouth that made her usher to the whole world by claiming she's a married woman is the one that's matira to the whole world, of course, except to Kohen, by claiming that she's divorced. Right? We could have figured that out. But if the information is not given to us by her, but only through Edim, we from Edim know she's already an Eshes Ish. And she says, yeah, that may be true, but I'm a Grusha. She's not believed to be divorced without producing a get. because we already have Eidus, not through her testimony, not through a Pesha Asar, that we already know that she's a married woman. Similarly, Amra Nishvesi Torani, you have a woman. I said I was captured, but I'm Torah. No one, I wasn't violated by any of my captors. She's preparing to bid it. She's allowed to marry a Kohen. Aha. Why? Sha Pesha Asar, Hua Pesha Hitir, Vimyesh Eidim Shinish Base. But if you have witnesses who say she was captured, Vihomer Torani, but no one, I'm Torah, no one violated me. And if she's not believed, we assume that she was violated by one of the non-Jews and she's Pasul Lakuna. Vimishinisis, Bo Eidim, but let's say after she married, the witnesses then came, meaning she gave the information. I was Nishbasi, but I'm Tahora. And then she marries someone. So now, after she gets married, the witness said, hey, we know that she was taken captive. Harezu lo teitze. She doesn't have to leave her husband at that point. Because it sounds, the simple understanding is because she was already married, but the Gemara will explain this in greater detail. Mishnah of the Gemara now. Amar Avasi, Minayla Pesha Asara Pesha Hitir Manatora. Finally, we have the question. How do you know? Where's that principle from? Shenamar Espitin Asati Lo Ishazel Isha. A father says, I gave my daughter to this man, Isha. So, Lo Ish. Asara, when he says, I gave my daughter to a man, so he, what is, by as soon as he says that, before saying who the husband is, she's now forbidden to all men. Hazeh Hitira, once he says the word as in this man identifies that particular husband, then he permits her to him. So you see, through a person's mouth himself, he's able to Pesha Asar, Pesha Iter. He says something that's Asar. She's Asar to all men. And then Hazeh, she's Mutter to this man. Ask the Gemara Lamali Cross Svari. What do you mean? What do you need a puzzle for? Isn't this Svara? Who Asarav? Who Sharila? He's the one who prohibited her. So he's the one who should be able to permit her. Right? Why should I assume otherwise? So the Gemara says, Ella, you're right. You really don't need a puzzle. You know what I need that pasuk for? It's bitina satu shazef for a different halacha. Pesha sa pesha itir is logical. But I need that pasuk for the following. Domar avuna marav minai love shenema. Lasser is bitomena Torah. How do you know that a father is believed to make his daughter usher to all men by saying she's a married woman? Shenemar es bitina sati loish hazeh. This is where we see, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shineman, second Rashi in the Gemara, Shineman, last or Bito, Kshiktano, Nara, Shebi Adolakacha. Since it's in his control and authority to marry off when she's a Ktano or Ktana, Kidamina, Beperk Nara, Shinispatata, Minayin Shem, Amar Kidashti, Laploni, Shuneman, Losra, Alakol. How do you know that if he says, I was Mekadish you to this man, she is, the father, is believed to say that she's usher to all men because he has the control to marry her off based on the Pasuk, Esbito. So it's all based on, it's all totally on him, on his giving her. And the Torah says that we believe, says the Gemara, Hazel Amali. So if you're telling me, Shenamar Espitina Sati Loish, that's very nice. You know, Faz believed, I gave it to this man. What do you need Hazel for? What does Hazel add? If it's not to teach me Pesha Asa, what's it there for? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. The Tani Rabbi Yona, Esbitin Asati Lesha Zeh, Hazeh, Velo Liyavam. That teaches us that in this particular case, we have to know the case. The context of this phrase is the case of Motzi Shemra, where a husband is claiming that his wife was unfaithful, and that's why, and he's in the end, he's motzi shemra on her. So if you look at the last Rashi, v'lo liyavam, imotzi shemra al nistuei achiv, shein ayavam nidon kemotzi shemra. Interesting. If a person is motzi shemra on the marriage of his brother, so the yavam is not considered, remember, the yavam is the brother. So he's not judged as a motzi shemra, leon to be punished, if he's lying, that is, of course, b'mea kesef. So that's what it means. The husband is going to be or the father rather is the one who potentially is motzi shemra. The husband rather is potentially motzi shemra on this girl that he married against that which the father says. But this would not apply to the case of a yavam. That's what it means. So if when we speak about a motzi shema, that's the husband who's claiming his wife was not a basula upon nisuin. So and it's claiming, but it's not. But it does not apply at all to the case of a yavam. One interesting point that I've mentioned in the past, maybe not this year, but from Rav Asher Weiss, is whether or not what's this concept of svara. We have this concept of svara not only here by hapeshas hapeshiter, which is related to marriage, to ne'amanus, to money, to ksuba, etc. You also have that svaruhu when it comes to the concept of that hamotzi mechaver olav araya, that the burden of proof is upon the one who wants to exact money from the other person. And the Gemara, and those are dinim d'oraisa, and the Gemara says svaruhu on daf lamed hem and alf, beginning the sixth parak, when it comes to bracha rishona. But a bracha rishona, what's the svara? Adam bracha. Can't get enough from this world without making a bracha. So everyone knows that bracha rishona is not a din d'oraisa. Why do the svaras who of motzi mechaver l'raya or pesha or of our case of peshas or peshahiter? Why those svaras functional on a d'oraisa level and this one is not? So Rav Asher Weiss explained the differences as follows. Those you ask a non-Jew about, oh, does this make sense, Peshas HaPeshiter, or Motzi Mechaver L'Raya, you explain to them the concept. Of course it makes sense. If you tell them, also the concept of brachos, Hilchos brachos, that's Bein Adam, La'Makom, it's ritual, it's blessings. That doesn't have the same logic to stand up in court in front of, objectively speaking, as these. And therefore, it's true, these svaras may be d'oraisa, but the svara of bracha rishona is only d'rabbanan.